I went back. You know what I did? I listened to a tape of the shiur that I gave on Parashat Vayechi around 4 or 5 years ago at least. Because I remembered that shiur was one of those frustrating days that I came in with so much to say and just never succeeded. So what I'm going to do is make the same mistake again. I'm going to talk about the same topic and try to put in all of the things that I didn't say then, and I'm going to fail again. I just won't get it done. There's so much to say about the subject.
So why don't you start from the second half?
I'm going to try, but I don't know. I have to give background before I start. I have the second half over here, but there's so much. There's another reason why I went back to listen to that tape. By the way, I held my breath. I was waiting every moment. What's he going to say next?
Thank you.
I'm taking this over. It's because it's topical again. The shiur was given about 4 or 5 years ago when the common wisdom here and in Chutz Laretz was the Golan is a done deal.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I came to the United States then, and there's a breakfast nook that I have in Borough Park, and the armchair politicians in Borough Park, the fellows that I usually meet when I come to the to this breakfast nook called the Donut Man. Anyway, I come walking in, Rabbi Gold, it's finished. The Golan is finished. It's all over. Barak then was going to make peace in 18 months, and the question was, would Assad, the older Assad, Shem Hashoyim Yerkav, would the older Assad be able to have his little Pisalach cooling in the Kinneret, or not? And it was really a question of just a few hundred meters one way or another. A few hundred meters. Beinenu, Beinav, Mahu, what?
Chip.
Anyways, and then I spoke at a conference of rabbis, the Israel conference of rabbis. I arrive at the conference, and a number of rabbis surround me. It's a done deal. So I spoke then, and my speech was entitled, "It's a Done Deal." And of course, the second sentence was, "No, by no stretch of the imagination, is it a done deal?" And I predicted nothing is going to happen, and we're not going to give away the Golan. I'm ready to make that prediction all over again right now, and I'm going to sleep very well at night.
Now, this is very good.
I'm warming you up for next Monday night. There's the Havgamah in Tel Aviv. Okay, we're getting back into the mood over here. Right, but of course, the purpose of the shiur and the shiur in its entirety was a shiur in halacha, but more than a shiur in halacha, what I found most fascinating that excited me then was its relationship to Parashat HaShavua. You don't think that I'm just going to come in and talk about the Golan and regardless of what Sedra it is or what Parashat it is, this is Parashat Vayechi. And I know that the parameters of this year is that this is year, I'm Parashat HaShavua. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. The problem begins with the fact, of course, that Shimon Peres and others, and even those within politicians within the Orthodox community, are not necessarily up to date on this. Peres always referred to the Golan Heights as Haramah HaSurit, the Syrian Heights. The Syrian Heights. Now we're going to have to see what's the story with the so-called Syrian Heights. So we'll begin with a little bit of text, and on the second sheet you'll see that we've even attached maps. So we're going to take you through a journey of the map. There are three maps, 1, 2, and 3. If you wish, we can take a look at, I see everybody turned over to look at the map, so let me get in our cook at the map. Map number one is the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. The southern part of Eretz Yisrael with the west bank of the Jordan and the east bank of the Jordan. You see that you have the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea is there. And then above the Dead Sea, you have the Jordan River going up to the north. Now, in that area, you have the land of Sihon. Sihon Melech HaAmori, Sihon, the king of the Amori, the king of Cheshbon, who was crushed by the forces of Moshe Rabbeinu. Down at the bottom, you have the Edom, Esav. We never, never conquered any part of Esav, but Moab, and the land of Sihon, and the land of Ammon. We'll see that all of these were conquered. So we have over there in map number one, we have the area in which ultimately Reuven and Gad, those two tribes, were going to inhabit that area. If you move to map number two, then you see the Jordan going up to the Kinneret. Above it is Mount Hermon at the top, and then the area immediately to the right of the Kinneret is the Golan and the Bashan. Okay? Let's see, what does the next map number three, is a close-up of that area up at the top. You have the Kinneret, the river, the lake over there, the Jordan going up to the Kinneret, and there are a number of names that are going to become familiar to you as we go through the sources that we have. There's Mount Hermon, Geshuri, Argov, Chavot Ya'ir, Gilad. And along the side it says Mamlechet Og Babashan, the kingdom of Og. Now we say it in Davening, La Og Melech, L'Sichon Melech HaAmori, Ki Li'olam Chazdo, La Og Melech HaBashan, Ki Li'olam Chazdo. Because we will see that there was a struggle against Og and a struggle against Sichon. Those were the battles that took place before Jews ever entered the heartland of Eretz Yisrael by crossing the Jordan. And it's with clear intent that I use the term the heartland of Eretz Yisrael. Because what we're going to have to deal with is, first of all, what is the halacha of Eiver HaYarden, the east bank of the Jordan? What is its halacha? Is it Eretz Yisrael? Is it not Eretz Yisrael? That's question number one. And question number two, even if we are dealing with the east bank of the Jordan, the northern part of that east bank, so to speak, the northern part is the Golan and the Bashan. Are they part of Eiver HaYarden? Are they part of the other side of the Jordan or not? And you're wondering what kind of a silly question am I asking? But the Golan and the Bashan are on the other side of the Jordan. Are they not? You ever went kayaking? North of the Kinneret, on the way to Kiryat Shmona, you can either go off kayaking, you can go on rubber tubes, and they tell you that you're in the Yarden, right? And then you can go even further and you're going to come to some of the sources of the Yarden, the Banyas, right? Right? Tail down, water coming down from the Hermon, the snow that melts. And one gets the impression from common usage, one gets the impression that the Jordan flows north of the Kinneret. And on maps, it's called the Jordan. It looks like a Jordan. It flows into the Kinneret. And then at the southern tip of the Kinneret, it flows out and it keeps going until it ends in the Yam HaMelech of the Dead Sea. So I said there are two questions that somehow or other during the course of this year we're going to have to deal with. What is the law of Eiver Hagadah, the other side of the Jordan? What is the halacha of the Golan or the Bashan? When we go, how do we get to the Golan? Well, you can either go north of the Kinneret and cross some of the bridges that take you into the Golan. If you come around the Kinneret, then you're right there. You come around the Kinneret once you've gone from Tzemach around to Ein Gev, and you're on your way to Kinar. Maybe some of you may even come to Ramot for Pesach. That was not a commercial. Ramot is across the street from, across the road from Kinar. That's all already the Golan, the Golan Heights. All right. Then, of course, the third and question, of course, that we have to deal with is, where in heaven's name did I find the Golan in Parshat Vayechi? What is its relationship to Parshat Vayechi? All right, let's begin by going through the sources, and then we will clarify the matter. The very end of Sefer Bereishit, number one. The very end. Vayar Yosef Lefchayim Bnei Shileshim. Yosef saw to Ephraim three generations. Gam Bnei Machir Ben Menashe Yuldu Al Birkei Yosef. The children of Machir, the son of Menashe, were born on the lap of Yosef. That's Yosef, Menashe, Machir, and the children of Machir. That's four generations. Machir is a grandson of Yosef. The children of Machir are great grandchildren of Yosef. Ayom Yosef Elach of Yosef said to his brothers, Anochi Meit, I'm going to die. Ve Elokim Pakot Nifkodetchem, God is going to remember you. Ve Ela Adchem, Adchem in Haaretz Hazot, He's going to take you up out of this land. El Haaretz Hashem Nishbala Avraham Yitzhak Liyakov, to the land that he swore to give to Avram, to Yitzhak, to Yaakov. Vayash by Yosef et Bnei Yisrael, Yosef administered an oath to the children of Israel, Lemo Pakot Yifkod Elokim Adchem, God will remember you. And you shall take up my bones from here. By Yamak Yosef, Yosef died, the May of Ezra, Shalom, 110 years old, by Yacham, two Otar, and they embalmed him, by Yisom, the Orem, in the time, and they placed him in a casket in Egypt, Chazak, Chazak, in the Chazak, it's the end of Sefer, and the Sefer Bridge. Now, what we're going to have to look is, I only have two of the texts that we're going to have to look at, but there are going to be some others that we'll just have to build up the information that you need. At the end of Parshat Chukat, we are told of the struggle against Sihon, king of the Amori. Moshe had sent a message extending a hand for peace. The response is that Sihon comes out with his whole army, and the battle ensues, at which Sihon is crushed, and Israel takes over all the land of Sihon. That's on the east bank of the Jordan, and we saw it already on the map. Vayesha Yisrael Be'eretz Amori, he was Sihon, king of the Amori, and Israel settled into that land. Moshe sent spies to a place called Yazer by Yilkidu Benoteha, and they captured the area around Yazer by Yodesh and Amori Asher Shama. They cast out the Amori over there. Now, by Yifnu, this is a very, very important word. They turned by Ya'alu, and they went northward, Derech HaBoshan. By Yetzi, Og Melech HaBoshan, the Krakam, Og King of the Boshan, came out toward them. He and all of his army to Edrei. On map number 3, Edrei is underlined. Edrei is underlined. Now, what's taking place over here is the following. Here we are clearly talking about a war, a battle, that Israel initiated. The struggle against Sihon was not initiated by Israel. They extended a hand of peace. All they wanted was to cross through his land in order to come to the Jordan. But here we're talking about something qualitatively different. We're talking about a clear decision that was taken by Moshe. We're going up against Og. By Yifnu, they turned and they went up, Derech HaBoshon, and of course Og came out of them. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and God said to Moshe, Al tira oto. This is where Moshe Rabbeinu joins Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. To each one of them, at some point in his life, God said to him, Al tira. To Avram, he said, Al tira mirado mitzkaima, don't be afraid of going down to him. He said that to Yaakov. To Yaakov, he said, Al tira mirado mitzkaima, don't be afraid of going down to Egypt. To Avram, he told Avram, after he came back from the battle against the four kings, he said, Al tira, don't be afraid that they may come against you. Onochi magen lecha, I am the one that is going to protect you. And to Yitzhak, at some point, before Avimelech or after Avimelech, he says, Al tira, here God says to Moshe, Al tira oto. It would seem quite clearly, of course, that they're terrified, they're frightened, they're concerned, they're anxious, they're hesitant about the battle with Og, king of the Bashan. God says, Al tira oto, don't be afraid. I've given into your hand that Kol Amal Batarzo, all of his people in his land, Vasikaloni should do to him just as he did to Sihon, king of the Amori, who lives in Cheshbon. Cheshbon was the city of Sihon. By Yaakov told them Banav, they smote him and all of his children, that Kol Amal Abilti Yishilo, so did nothing remain. By Yishu Batarzo, they inherited his land. By Yishu B'nai Yisrael, from there they. The fact is that they moved southward. They journeyed by Yachanu Barvot Moab on the plains of Moab, May Evel Liyarden Yerecho. That word is going to be very, very important. The Yarden, where it comes out, Yericho, again, I'm afraid none of these maps have Yericho. So let me tell you, Yericho, where you see Yerushalayim on map 2, If you move directly eastward, I mean, we know it already. How do you go down to Yom HaMelech? You go directly eastward, and then when you come to Yericho, you turn, you make a right turn going south. Going south.
On
map number one, yes. Thank you very much.
Where is it?
Thank you. On map number one, take a look. Immediately above
the Dead Sea.
On one side it says Arvot Moab, and the other it says Arvot Yericho. That's exactly where they arrived now in the battle with Og, king of the Bashan. Thank you very much. Okay? Good. At the end of Parshat Matot. Now here I have to tell you a little bit about the parasha that precedes it. The parasha that precedes it is the approach that was made by the sons of Reuven and Gad. B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven came to Moshe and they said to him, after the land of Sihon was conquered, they said, listen, this land is grazing land, and we have cattle. You get it, Moshe? Okay. We've studied that parasha a number of times. Moshe lets them sweat until they say very clearly, okay, Moshe, we'll play the game your way. We would like to stay here because we have cattle and this is grazing land. And then Moshe explodes into a holy paroxysm of anger, and he says, are you going to be like the Meraglim of 40 years ago? You're going to keep Jews here. You don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, they make a deal. And the deal is, of course, they're going to cross the Yarden and wage war side by side with the people of Israel.
And when the battle was over, then they returned home to the other side of the Jordan. Now what's fascinating is that during this entire parasha, the whole dialogue, debate, that takes place between Moshe, it's between Moshe and two tribes, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuven. And when we come to the end of the Seder, a little bit before the psukim that we have here, it says that Moshe gave the other side of the Jordan to the sons of Reuven, the sons of Gad, and to half tribe Manasseh. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, appears a head of a tribe of Manasseh. And nobody really knows what is this half tribe of Manasseh doing here. They were not part of the negotiations. They never made any claim that they want to stay on the other side of the Jordan. We'll come back to that. Vayelchu, number three, Vayelchu ben Imocher ben Manasseh. Now you're beginning to see, of course, what the relationship is going to be to Parashat Vayechi. The first time in Torah we heard about the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, is at the end of Parashat Vayechi. All of a sudden they appear on the scene over here. The same sons of Machir, the son of Manasseh, the son of Yosef, those that were raised on the lap of Yosef, they went Gil-Oda to Gilad, by Yil-Kideha, and they captured her. Vayodesh et Amori Yeshavah, and they cast out the Amori that were there. Vayite Moshe et HaGilad. Moshe gave Gilad to Machir, the son of Manasseh, Vayeshavah. And he lived. V'Yoir ben Manasseh, Yoir the son of Manasseh, Holoch, he went by Yilkod et Chavoteim. He captured the plantations by Yikratem and he called them Chavot Yair. Vinovach, another one of the children of Manasseh, went and he captured Knat et Vinoteha and all of the cities around it by Yikrolo Novach Bishmo and he called the name of the place Novach. Okay? Now, there's a new term that has now entered into our lexicon and that's Gilad. We've talked about the land of Sihon, the king of the Amori. Gilad is the northern part of the other side of the Jordan. Immediately above Gilad is going to be the Bashan and the Golan. Bashan and Golan. All right. We're going to see a little more about it. So now we're going to go to definition number one. What's called the Yarden? It's not so simple. What difference is it going to make to us? The difference that it's going to make is what's called the other side of the Jordan. If we know what the Jordan is, then we know what's the other side of the Jordan. I think that's pretty simple. So there's a Gemara in Brachos that says the following. Number four. Omar Rabba Barakon Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ein Yarden. Listen carefully over here. Ein Yarden ela mi beit Yerecho ulamato. Yarden begins from beit Yerecho and below. Now what is this beit Yerecho? You might be tempted, of course, to say, well, Yerecho can't be. It can't be. And we're going to give a number of proofs why it can't be. But wait. Did I write Beit Yerecho in on any? You did a schwappy job, but all right. If you look at map 3, immediately below the Kinneret, you see where I wrote in English Kinneret?
Yeah.
Immediately above it, I have a Yud Resh and Chet. I mean, I'm not a good... being able to make good maps is not a requirement for this job. There's a place there called Yerach.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Now, the Gemara goes on to say, let's go another few lines, Tanya Nami Hachi, three lines further. Yarden Yotzen Ma'avat Pamayis. Yarden comes out of the cave of Pamayis. Now, if you just change the pave to a bed and the man to a nun, and just it's banyas, it depends on who's saying it. And you know, there are, we have friends who don't say a pay, and the pay becomes a bed. You understand? Anyway, Yarden comes out of the cave of Hamayis, Umahalach, and he goes through Yama Shel Sivchi, the waters of Sivchi, Upi Yama Shel Tiberia, and the sea of Tiberias, which is of course, that's the Kinneret. Upi Yama Shel Sidon, and then ultimately he goes to the Yam of Sidon, V'holei V'nofei L'Yam HaGadol, how it ever gets into the Yam HaGadol, V'ein Yardein El Yivet Yirecho Olamato. Okay. Omar Abdelkin, or Abdelkin says, why is it called Yarden? Because it comes down from Dun. Yodesh, Dun. Comes down from Dun. Tail, Dun. Okay. It's also good to know this. I'll tell you what the Gemara is saying. I'll tell you exactly what the Gemara is saying. And you know, the key to the whole story of the Golan is that Rashi. Small. But you know, a small Rashi in small print. On number four, and I put a border around it, a black border. That little Rashi is the key to unlock the whole story of the Bashan and the Golan. Mibeit Yerecho Lamata. Rashi says on the Gemara that the Yarden is called the Yarden from Beit Yerecho and below. I will call now the Moshe Lamala Miricho, and he really means Yerecho or Yerech. Whatever is above, Lo Yardenhu, it's not Yarden. You see, first, let me get one thing. It can't mean the Yericho that we're talking about. Our Yericho. Because from Yericho to the Dead Sea is 10 kilometers.
Right.
So you're going to tell me that the whole Jordan is 10 kilometers long? The whole mighty Jordan. By the way, it says that when they crossed the Yarden, so the waters stopped all the way from below the Kinneret until Yericho. So obviously the splitting of the Jordan is indicative that all of that area from below the Kinneret is called the Jordan. So what's this Beit Yerecho? So Rashi explains. Avumadu Moshech Lamalo Yerecho, whatever extension there is of the Yarden, north of Yerecho, Lo Yardenhu, that's not called Yarden. He's talking about the part that is north of the Kinneret, where we go kayaking, where we go on inner tubes, you understand? That's not Yarden. The bottle chashivuto shemit adeiv b'yamin gedolim. Rashi says simply, the Yarden in the whole area north of the Kinneret is really a mixture of all sorts of rivers and water sources that begin to flow into one. There is no one Yarden until when? Until it flows into the Kinneret. And from the moment it comes out from the Kinneret, there's one flow of water. That's Yarden. But anything above, is Banyas, is Tel Dan, is Hermon, who knows what else it is?
They call sources.
Those are the water sources of the Yarden. But where does the Yarden begin? The Yarden begins south, immediately south of the Kinneret, and that's called Beit Yerecho or Beit Yarech, nothing to do with the Yericho that we know. Which means the following. Yes?
It's clear on map 2. Yes. Map 2, if you look, it's much clearer.
Map 2?
Map 2, you see
Yerech. Yeah, you see.
It's much clearer.
Yeah, first of all, I made it clearer because I went over the Yarden below the Kinneret with my dark pen. Understand? But if you look a little clearly, you'll see all of those rivulets going into the. By the way, there's the Chula Valley also, that were the waters of the Chula. Everything mixes. It's a whole mixture of different waters. And there's really nothing that can at any point be called truly Jordan until it comes out at the bottom of the Kinneret. Yes?
Just for interest, the Medina of Israel recognizes that as you draw it up, there's a spot that says the headwaters of the Jordan, just south of the Kinneret, as you draw it up. It's labeled.
There is such a sign?
Yes.
Long live the state of Israel. Good. Very good. There's a sign south of the Kinneret that says the headwaters of the Jordan. Now, this makes two unbelievable differences in halacha. Number one, it means, therefore, that what's Jordan from south of the Kinneret all the way down to the Amarah. So whenever we're going to talk about the other side of the Jordan, it only means there. Anything from the Kinneret itself and northward does not go under the label of Evariyadeh, the east bank of the Jordan. There is no Jordan there. Now, what in fact is the difference, if any, between one side of the Jordan and the other? So I'm going to really encapsulate all of the halacha about which so much is written, and I'm just going to give you the bottom line of the halacha. One, does one fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, if you live on the other side of the Jordan? Resounding answer, absolutely yes. If somebody is buried in Eber HaYardeh, is it like being buried in Eretz HaChayim?
It is.
Yes.
And the Shemitah, Halachot Shemitah also?
Yes. Shemitah, Truma, Meiser, Mitzvot HaTluyot Ba'aretz, Eber HaYardeh, the East Bank, West Bank, Oto HaDin, the same thing. By the way, we did have a few good Jews who lived on the other side of the Jordan. David has a friend called Barzilai HaGiladi. Gilad is the other side, the north. No, Gilad is the north of Eber HaYardeh, immediately south of the Kinneret. That's the land of Gilad that we talk about. Avshalom, the son of David, flees to Gilad and lives there for 3 years. Why didn't he have him come back into Eretz Yisrael proper? Yiftach HaGiladi. But that all pales into significance. Tell me who's the greatest Giladi of them all. Eliyahu HaTishbi. Eliyahu HaGiladi. Eliyahu is from Gilad. The other side of the Jordan is precisely Eretz Yisrael proper, except for two halachot. The two halachot are the following. Bet HaMikdash has to be built on the west side of the Jordan. And the reason, of course, is simple. Because if you want the epicenter of Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be Sfivot Yerushalayim. You can't build Mikdash in... There's one other fascinating halacha. Bikurim, first fruits, you can't bring from Eber HaYardeh. Because the designation of Eretz, Zavas, Cholov, Utvash, a land flowing with milk and honey, only applies to the west bank of the Jordan, not the other. Why don't you look at the positive side? With regard, Shchina, Kedushat Shchina, the sanctity that comes with the divine presence. Moshe is going to describe Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Hashem, Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo, that the eyes of God are in that land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Does that apply to Eber HaYardeh? Yes. So that means Eber HaYardeh, East and West Bank, all have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, except for two things. Now, lot of building the Beit HaMikdash, and the halacha of bringing the Kurim Eretz Zavas Chol Udvash. Otherwise, Otherwise, Shemitah, Truma, Maaseh, everything applies there as it applies in other states. I say, now, you know what that leaves us with? That now leaves us, so what's the Bashan and the Golan? What halacha do they have? They don't have any halacha of Eger Agarim, because there is no other side of the Jordan there, because there is no Jordan. So what halacha does the Golan have? I think I said last time, I listened to the picture, I remember some of the things I said. My youngest son, some years ago, he was working, did a favor to somebody, delivered some things to the mountains, and went to some of the all sorts of bungalow colonies, and he was wearing a t-shirt, Ha'arim HaGolan. So he said, one of the bungalow colonies, a fellow comes over and says, Zubman, listen to the Gulen. didn't have a clue, but by the way, Golan Babashan says later on in Sefer Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three cities of refuge on the east side, and one of them was a city called Golan in the Bashan. Somebody in the back, when I asked the question, so what halacha does the Golan have? And I think there was a voice from the back that said, it's Eretz's whole proper. The Golan is really the extension of the Galil. You take a look at the map. If there's no Jordan over there, nothing that has a halacha of Jordan that separates one side from the other side, then it's all one straight extension from Kiryat Shmona to Chisbin, from Metula to Katzrin, from Kfar Giladi to Hamad Magshinin. That's exactly the halacha of the Golan. The Golan is Eretz Yisrael proper. The Golan is Eretz Yisrael proper. Ramah HaSudit, the Syrian Ramah, what are you talking about? No such thing. The Golan is Eretz Yisrael proper. There's nothing that separates it from it. There's no separation of east and west over there. Yes?
I wonder, does it continue to the Kenetra?
Oh, so I haven't gone that far. You'll see on some of the maps, it goes as far as Damascus. So it goes as far as Damascus, that includes Kenetra. We say it, I think, in Hoshanis.
Yes.
Chazalik, it's a Zohar. Asida, Eretz Yisrael is going to go up until Damascus, up until Damascus. So I think we've gotten now a picture of, we've put the Golan in its proper place. So we don't listen to anybody's idea. We can do it after Golan. Yes.
The
Eved
of Abraham was the priest of
Damascus. He came from Damascus. Mm-hmm. Damascus Eliezer. But we don't know that he was any prince in Damascus. All we know is that his hometown was Damascus. But that doesn't, Eliezer Eved Avraham does not turn it into Eretz Yisrael. All right. Now, wait. There are a number of other extremely important additions that must be made until we bring everything back to Parashat HaShavua. Number five. The fact is that everything in number five we already said. Number five is the Tosefta, which is similar to the Gemara in Choros, that Nohara Yotzei Marat Pamayis, the river that goes out of the cave of Pamayis and goes through the Yama of Sufri and the Yama of Tveria. In Afal Pisha Shmo Yardain, here the Tosefta says it clearly, even though its name is Yardain, and we call it Yardain, and they called it Yardain then, it's not considered part of the Yardin. It means, therefore, that you could bring Bikurim from the land of the Golan. Ezehu Yardin, what is described as Yardin, that differentiates one side for these few little things, one side to the other, that we make it echo ulamana. All right. Six and seven are very important. 6 and 7 are very important. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, about 500 years ago, 600 years ago, says the following. He says in the name of his father, my father proves, and there are a lot of psukim to be dealt with in Divrei Yomim Chronicles. This will blow your mind, so just listen carefully. She calls Mam Shahogi Yisrobi Mitzrayim, as long as Jews were in Egypt, Hoyulifonim Holchim Laretz Yisrael, Al Karka Yaakov Avinu. There were Jews who got permission to leave Mitzrayim from time to time and go look after the property of Yaakov Avinu. Vahayubonim Shom Krakim, and they built cities there. Do you understand? Jews are enslaved, but they have investments in Eretz Yisrael, and there were those who were permitted to leave from time to time. Vani Sofer, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, this he said in the name of his father, he says, but I hold, Shadaf Gezerah Yosef for Yehosin. The only ones who were able to do that were the children of Yosef, because they had special privileges. Vulahem Hayoshut Paro, they had permission from Paro. Kimach Makvod Yosef, Paro Noeg Behem Kavod, because of the honor that they had for Yosef. So Paro continue to conduct himself with kavod, letakein lechazek yirushatam, so that they should be able to fix up and strengthen their inheritance. V'hayu moshivin ben diodin uporim lehen mas, and they built projektim, and they had tenants, and they got they paid rent. The students of Rav Sadia Gaon, number 7, Divrei Hayamim, with regard to Gila. Umacher, Avi Mohayarosh, Va'av Gilad Mocher, was the head of Gilad. Yair, the son of Mocher, Tofas with Gilad Akrav, he took possession of Gilad after him. Lefichach Nikrav Shmo, that's why it's called Chavot Yair. We learned about Yair, Al Shem Avi Emo, Al Shem Hanachalos, Shetofso, Bimeshu, Tanuso, Shet Yosef. The Talmud of Rav Sadia Gaon says that they took possession of the Golan, Gilad, and the Golan in the days of Yosef. You understand? In the days of Yosef. Unbelievable. For that matter, what it really means is that the Golan may have been the first place that was truly inhabited, captured, and held by the Jewish people. Shariah Melech Haaretz, he was king of the land. Ukishemes Yosef Ve'echov, Ve'nitchasku Ha'umot, Vayikhu Geshur, Va'aram Shahayim Goyim, so you should know they came, and they stole the land from us. Geshur is the land of the Geshuri, and it says on the map, and then later Aram came. The Tofsu et Chavot Yair, V'lakach, therefore, this had been in the family of Yosef all along. V'lakach nit'avu b'nei Mocher, l'sheret v'eretz ha'gila, that's why the children of Mocher wanted to live in the land of Gila. Remember, the children of Mocher, they're the ones who this week said, but tells us they're the ones that are born on the lap of Yosef. U'b'tfusat avien, not namoshalem, because it had been held by their father Yosef. That's why Moshe gave it to them. But you know what else this explains? The battle against Og, Melech HaBashan, is described in Torah, as we mentioned earlier, a battle that the Jewish people initiated. Vayifnu Vayalu Derech HaBashan. They turned after the battle with Sichon. The battle with Sichon, we're left with the impression in Torah that they only wanted to do was go through your land. We made a simple, peaceful, honorable request, and then Sichon comes out ready for war against them. So, well, you want war? We'll give you war. And they conquer him. But the struggle against Og Melech HaBashan was planned. Vayifnu Vayavu, you can go into Eretz Yisrael. From where they were, you can go into Eretz Yisrael without ever coming close to the land of Og Melech HaBashan. In order to get to the land of Og Melech HaBashan, there has to be a clear plan to move northward out of the path on which they were traveling. Why? You know why? Not only because it belonged to Yosef and his family, because it's Eretz Yisrael proper. It's the Galil. It's Eretz Yisrael proper. That's what the Golan is. And if anybody's going to try and tell you that the Golan is, oh, Hagama, Hasudik, unbelievable, it's not true. And if anything, it may have been the very first place that was conquered. What it also means is the following. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael does not begin in Sefer Devarim. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael begins at the end of Sefer Bereshit. At the end of Sefer Bereshit, the conquest has begun already. It means this Chumash Bereshit, that the first Rashi in Bereshit said, why was it all written? And in order to tell you that the whole world belongs to God and He took it from them and gave it to us. In other words, the Sefer Bereshit is that which establishes that we have a right to Eretz Yisrael. So you should know that Sefer Bereshit doesn't end until we have already begun the process. And that process begins by those who are raised on the lap of Yosef. And it may very well be that Yosef deserves that his great-grandchildren should be the first ones who begin to take possession of Eretz Yisrael. There's an amazing medrash. Medrash says, Yosef at the end of the Seder has administered an oath to his family that they should take his bones into Eretz Yisrael. So there's a medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the one that took the bones of Yosef out of the Mitzrayim? While everybody was out getting gold and silver, Moshe is the one who goes to the Nile and he brings up the bones of Yosef. And then Moshe, more than anything else in the world, wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he turns to the Rebbe Shimon HaMeir and he says, Atzmos Yosef nichnasin la'oretz, the bones of Yosef are going to go into Eretz Yisrael, v'ani eini nichnas, and I can't go in. And I remember even, my father, Lord Shalom, as a little boy, he used to make me feel so bad. He used to talk Friday night, the table used to talk about poor Moshe. Moshe wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. He used to quote the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, just turn me into a bird and let me fly like a bird over Eretz Yisrael. So here Moshe says, Atzmot Yosef, the bones of Yosef are going in and I can't go into Eretz Yisrael. God's response to him was a very sharp one. And he says, Yosef, Shehode Ba'arzo, Yosef who made it known that he's from the land of Canaan, Nikbar Ba'arzo, can be buried in his land. Moshe, not. Medrash explains what does it mean. When the Sar HaMashkin, the butler, tells Paro that there was somebody in prison who knows how to interpret it, he says there was not Eben Ivni, a Hebrew boy. What do the daughters of Yisro say when they come home early and Yitro asks them, how come Mihart and Mavayom came so quickly? So they said, Ishnitzvi Hitzilanu Miyadarom. An Egyptian is the one who saved him from the hands of the shepherds. So this is God's response to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it means Yosef. Yosef, who's the Nar, Eved, Ivri, is the one who deserves that his children should be the first to take possession of Eretz Yisrael. We also talked about the fact that, now we understand that whole parsha in Torah and parsha Matot, where the Torah says that Reuven and God are asking to stay on the other side of the Yarden, and the whole dialogue takes place between Moshe and God and Reuven. Menashe isn't even part of the whole request, and then it says he gave Menashe the Gilad and the Bashan. So it's quite clear. Reuven and God requested. And that was their dialogue with Moshe. He gives the Eftesheva to Menashe, the land that was always there from the time of Yosef. He's giving them what was rightfully theirs. And they went out and they conquered it. They went out and they conquered it. Let's turn over. No, let's go to 9 and 10. Just another pasuk in Parashat Vayechi, number 10, we'll read the pasuk. And from the pasuk, we'll go to the Medrash Tanchuma, number 9. In the pasuk, it says, Yaakov blesses his children before he dies. So it says about Yosef, Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Aleayim, Banot Sa'ado Aleishur, a beautiful son is Yosef, the daughters, Banot Sa'ado Aleishur. The daughters climbed on the fence. So Rashi says that Yosef was so handsome that when he went through the streets of Mitzrayim, the daughters of Mitzrayim, the girls of Mitzrayim, would stand on the fences in order to be able to spy a look of Yosef. Medrash Tanchuma says a completely different pshat, unbelievable pshat than Rebbe says. Doraha, number 9. Natong titein lehem. The pasuk Natong titein lehem comes at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, the 5 daughters of Tzlochad, who are from the family of Menashe, have asked Moshe, why don't we get a share in the land? So Moshe says, I'm going to speak to God and I'm going to find out. And God's response is not Ton Titamahan. Absolutely. They deserve. Hanoshim Mechavavot et Ha'aretz. The women love Eretz Israel. Give them a share. Shenotlu Be'ever Ayardain. The Korvul is made Yahushua Beretz Canaan. Different shot than what would emerge from the Tzukim. Not Ton Titamahan. So the Medrash is learning that he gave them right then and there. He gave them on the other side of the Jordan. When they cross the Jordan, they come to Yahushua. They come to Yahushua, and they want to share in the land. You know, this is pretty funny. You understand? You know, we gave this. The 5 daughters are going to hop up on it. They already were given by Moshe, and they want Zebul and Achmet. You understand? They want more. Shenema says, in Yahushua it says that Tikdavla Lifnei Elazar Akonim Lifnei Yahushua Ben Nun. They came to Elazar the coming in Yahushua Ben Nun. And you know what? They got from Yahushua too. Vaf Yaakov Avinu Ro Shenotlos Mikanu Mikan. Yaakov Avinu himself saw the Ruach HaKadosh that they're going to take land on this side and on that side. Shenema. Listen to how Medrash Rebbe Tanchuma learns the pasuk. Bonos, the daughters, climbed Alei Shur on the fence. Do you know what the fence is? The Jordan. They got on one side of the fence, and they got the other side of the fence. Zeha Yarden. Shenase Kechoma, this is the Yarden that became like a wall. For whom did it become like a wall? You know, you have to be very careful when you talk about walls. Talk about walls. They'll take the Yarden to the heart, you understand? Okay? The Yarden became a wall. Shelo Yikonei Sloretz. That Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go to Israel. The Yarden is that which separates Moshe Rabbeinu from what he wants more than anything else in the world. For Amalo Yaakov Yosef, Yaakov, in his blessings in this sedra to Yosef, tells Yosef, Benotecha notlot kan kan. Your daughters are going to take on this side and that side. Bonos tzo'ado alei shur. The daughters climbed over the fence. They got on one side of the fence and they got on the other side of the fence. Yes?
But doesn't this imply that there is no difference between what is considered then Eretz Yisrael on this side of the Yom of the Yarden and the outside, because Moshe was allowed to go there and not there?
I thought that. That bothered me too. It's a good akasha. But of course I have to answer it. I can try to stall. Don't say I can try and stall. Okay. Or I can say that the Medrash is practically telling us It's a wall only for one thing. That Moshe can't go in to that part of the land where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built. Because, for example, Rashi says, why did Moshe Rabbeinu pray at that time where Hanan Beit HaHilemor, and I prayed before God that he should let me go in? So Rashi explains, because they have conquered Sichon Melech Hamori and Og Melech HaBoshan. And who did that? Moshe Rabbeinu did that. So he said, Shema, I thought, Shema, Hutan Haneda, since I have conquered part of Eretz Yisrael, maybe the vow that God made has already been ended. God has regretted it. God has now opened the road for me. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael where he was. He knew that. He knew that his conquest had it been Eretz Yisrael, but he wanted to go to, I would say that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Yerushalayim, to Yerushalayim, that's where he wanted to go. And that was closed for him. But Yosef's children, both sides. Very fascinating the way the Medrash sees it. All right, I'm afraid that what I'm going to have to wait to is when another prime minister, maybe 7-8 years from now, is going to want to give away, or going to want to negotiate over the Golan, and then we'll have another shear on Parashat Vayechin, because there's a great deal that I said today that I didn't say a few years ago, and there's a great deal that is still left to be said. But the important thing is, the Golan is part of the Galil, it is Eretz Yisrael proper, you can bring Bikurim from the Golan. All of the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, Golan has all of the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. And the one who's the great Ohei of Eretz Yisrael, of Torah, is the one whose great grandchildren already begin the conquest of their portion in Eretz Yisrael. During the lifetime of Yosef, it's amazing. So that state of Benatius ends with the beginning of the conquest.
So how do you stop from preaching to the converted and get the converted to the non-converted?
My job is to teach Torah. Yeah. I'm not a politician.
No. Can't you invite them to a shear?
No, let me.
Not if you have a room.
Shut up the big mouth. We know that they're going to have the settlements and don't know that.
Yeah.